This is the Silver Wolf Howl. I am Angela, and today we're continuing our conversation with Noel and Ryan. So, other than that, what has been some of the highlights that you can think of in terms of people that you've dealt with, maybe, or even clients? We don't really talk about them. I know that people have different expectations when they come to us. So they would think that, okay, I'm coming to you now, and then tomorrow at lunchtime, you will then give me exactly what I have in my mind. And it doesn't work that way, not only time-wise, but results-wise as well. So anything interesting that you can think of?
Not so much particular instances, although there are probably quite a few of those, but just in terms of the things that we learn along the way. The first thing that over the years I've just learned more and more and more, and it's strengthened in me, is we have to be very careful what we do and how we do things, because these are people's lives that we're affecting. Everything we do as investigators affects somebody's life. And they come to us because they have some serious situation. That's on the client's side. On the people that we're investigating, they too have lives. And everything that we do, we have to be absolutely certain that everything that we discover and everything that we report is the exact truth, and it is confirmed properly. And I feel that that's quite a serious mantle that rests on our shoulders.
Yes, that's where the saying comes, with great responsibility. What is it? With great power comes great responsibility. So, yeah, I think that that touches on another point then, in that you need to be a specific type of person to be able to do this work effectively. If you are doing it for to stroke your ego, then this is not the right work for you, because you wouldn't have that compassion that you were talking about now to be able to relate to people. And then also you would tend to lean towards assumptions, as we spoke about earlier, because you are trying to prove something to feed your ego. So you need to be a certain unique blend of a character to be able to do this work effectively, not just in execution of it, but also in instinct and in knowing how to handle people and how to deal with the situation if it does get hairy and things like that. And the stick-with-itness, you know, when things are not going your way, or it's going a bit rough or a bit slow, or you're not getting all the most exciting things happening right now. It's a lot of paperwork, it's report writing, whatever, that you stick with it. So do you agree with that, that you need to kind of be a certain blend of a person in order to do this work effectively, to be a good investigator?
Well, most of our work is, like in Cape Town, this Afrikaans saying, respect and discipline, you know. So you must respect everybody, no matter who they are. You must be disciplined enough to not get sidetracked, you know. So you need to focus. You need to listen, you know. Yeah, listen. You need to question and just, you know, show the people that you're working with them, not against them, irrespective of who they are in the specific case, because respect can buy you such a lot of information that if you come with guns blazing, you're not going to get anything out of that people. So it's basically, if you respect people, you know, it can be a gang member that you're speaking to, it can be a fraudster you're speaking to. If you can just respect them and show them that you're not, accusing them of anything, but you're just respecting where they are in their lives, you'll be surprised what you can actually get from people.
That reminds me of a particular case where we were trying to track down a particular lady, and to do it we had to go into one of the worst slum townships in the whole of the Western Cape. Not a place that security companies would normally even like to go into. I think sometimes even the police are careful going into that particular area. And we went, we were in uniform, and we went and we knocked on this lady's door after struggling to find the address. We knocked on her door, and she came out and she looked absolutely terrified at these two huge guys in black and blue uniforms and sort of, you know. And because of the respect that we showed her and the way we spoke to her, she settled down in about a few seconds and just started talking to us. And now, after us having done this for quite a while together and working in those areas, we can go into areas like that far more freely because our reputation for doing that has gone ahead of us. And a lot of people recognize our brand, they recognize us, and they greet us and treat us very nicely and things like that, which maybe they don't do with others.
Yeah. No, that is a fact. It is, you know, people, when you're coming into an area, there can be six or seven guys, you know, standing somewhere, you know, holding point. But the energy that we exude is not to be bombastic. We basically come in, we respect the area, you know, we greet them, and in most cases, we actually have words with them, speak with them, you know, talk about anything, just so they can see that you respect their territory. And from there, it is, you know, you can go anywhere from there. It's all a matter of respecting people, respecting who they are, and where they're coming from in their point in their lives.
Yeah, I think that is a very key point to have, that constant respect, and also just to understand people, you know, that I think at the end of the day, they're all just trying to do the best they can, really. Let's talk about some frustrations. What do you find is like frustrating in your work to not be able to get to the result that you want to get to, and stuff, I'm meaning particularly stuff that's outside of your control? Have you had those kinds of experiences?
Well, Angela, you know, hopefully this year it will, we'll be able to work better and more efficiently. The 2022 was, you know, we'd done a lot of work that involved finding people, tracking them, locating, and doing, you know, putting legworking, putting in hours, doing stakeouts, working out, frequency of movement, people's habits, where they are, what they're doing, how they get around, you know, doing things that I cannot mention, but to locate and also to pinpoint where people are, perpetrators, fraudsters, etc. The frustrations is that we got the people. This is where they are. This is their movement, and then we then have to hand it over to SAPS. SAPS in their own, they are excellent. They work with us. We've in last year, we've actually managed to collaborate very well with a lot of investigating officers and people like that. But the frustration is the SAP systems, their processes, where we tell them, look, here the person is that you are looking for. The warrant is there. Everything is there. But now their processes, unfortunately for SAP's processes, gets in the way of getting the job done, having the person apprehended. You know, there is so much red tape on their side, which is kind of disappointing. But hopefully this year, somewhere, someone higher up, you know, in SAP systems can find a way to just, you know, move that red tape just a little bit further back so that the job can get done.
Yeah, I would agree that not only SAPS, but other organizations we sometimes have to work with, especially in the law enforcement field, the field of the courts, etc., they also often don't have the same training, the same equipment, and even the same way of thinking as we do. So we can find the person, hand it over to them to be the executive side, and then we find that, you know, nothing happens from there, or not what was, what happened was not what was planned. And that is a great frustration for me. Another frustration is just going out there and dealing with the public in general. One of two things happens. First of all, there's a lot of mistrust out there for people that are perceived to be in the security or law enforcement side of things. And secondly, law enforcement in this country has gained a reputation with the general public where they are not trusted. So the general public picks that up and then does not cooperate with anybody perceived to be in law enforcement, which often includes people like ourselves. So it's a very thin line that we have to walk between success and failure on our side and somebody else having to be involved and not doing the job that, or not picking up the ball and carrying it on further from where we left it off.
Yeah, I think that that is part of the challenge of what we do, is that we are a part of the picture. We don't usually paint the whole picture. We just do our little bit. And I think that that also then lends to client expectations. Like, for example, a case where at the end the person would hopefully be prosecuted. We can only do our bit, then we hand it over, and then it needs to go to SAPS for investigation, and then it needs to go to the courts for prosecution. And so there's a lot more to it than just our part, and I think sometimes clients forget that thing, and they think that because maybe we did our part quickly and well, that the rest of it is going to slide through smoothly, and they get frustrated with that as well. So, yeah, it is... It's not always easy to have to do all the work like Ryan did, and then at the end of the day, it's not ineffective, but it just kind of loses that momentum, and maybe we don't even know if it did go through in the end. And I think this leads me then to the next question. How do you feel about having to stop or not be involved in a case anymore and not knowing its conclusion? Is it getting easier having to live with that or not? You know, having that closure of, oh, how did the, I wonder how that ended, and I wonder how this kind of conclusion happened in this particular case. So is it easier, or have you just kind of become used to it, or you just like numb to it and just, or is it a mental kind of block? So, okay, I've done my job and I just move on and try not to think about it further.
I don't know about anybody else, but I've never been able to develop that mental block. I like to see a case through right to the finish, even if it's just to hear from somebody to say, oh, it went well or it didn't go well, going into the courts and things like that. It is one of my absolute bugbears that I don't hear about a case after we're done with our side of it. You know, we do this for a living, obviously, because we need a living. But we don't do it necessarily for the money. We do it for the love of what we do. And that has to include getting closure on cases, and we just don't. It drives me up the wall.
Yeah, I don't... yeah... It's like an itch that you can't scratch, yeah.
Now, me being new in this industry, I feel like that chef that made that pot of food, right? And I dropped it, and it just spills, and no one can enjoy it. Now, you know, when you got the guy, we have cuffs, we have tasers, and I look at Noel and tell Noel, can we take that person down now? Nope, Saps must do it. And then when we leave it with Saps, we don't hear again, you know, about it. It's come to a point where, for me, I take it personally, I'm going to join the neighborhood watch now, so that I can at least use my cuffs, use my taser, use my defense classes that I've been acquiring over the last year, because I can't do it with my work. So I'll do it, you know, with Saps there for, you know, for the scallopy in the street, you know. But yeah, it's for me, it's frustrating. You put in the hours, there's a person on the silver platter, but the platter falls, you know. So yeah. That's how I feel about it.
Amen to that.
Yeah. I kind of get that because being an investigator, yes, that part of me too, but also just having teeny bit of OCD, you kind of want to see the conclusion of the story and how it ended. Either way, I think you'll agree with me, to like either way, but you just want to know how the story ended. But unfortunately, we can't always have our way.
It's a case of the person will ask Saps, how did you find me, you know? Then I want to say, you know, you ran so hard and fast, you know, but just the sheer adrenaline and that I'm going to get you attitude, you know, hulle maak jou lus, man, you know, that it's like you want to just walk in front of me and says, I found you, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
So there is pleasure in it, but it's short-lived because of processes of we've got an excellent investigation system in SAPS, but it's just the red tape basically just needs to be pushed back a little bit, you know?
Yeah, and I wonder how frustrating it must be for them as well, because as you say, they are like good investigators in that, and then they get to this like roadblock and they just can't go any further. So it would be interesting also to hear from their perspective what it's like having that. And then also when they receive stuff from us. So yeah, it's all on the silver platter, but I have to just put it down there because this red tape is blocking me from going further. So that's actually quite an interesting point as well.
So one thing that I just want to make mention of is that because of the exact type of business we are in, we deal with people's trauma all the time. We deal with people's emotions and their deepest issues and problems on a day-to-day basis. So it does have a mental stroke emotional impact on us. And some of the things that happen in our cases actually kind of rock our world. I was involved in a murder case a couple of years ago where it so affected me that I was sick for 5 days after the end of the case. And that case is still ongoing in the courts today. So last year, I must say, it was like an emotional roller coaster. It was up and down and pretty vicious and then sort of easy, kind of like. The bottom line is we've come out of a very tricky year in terms of, because during last year, people started running more and running harder, like I said before. They started getting worse. They started getting deeper into debt, largely because of the pandemic that went before. A lot of people lost their incomes and that kind of thing, and there's a lot more desperation out there. That echoed in our lives, because when we have to go after these people, we pick up on their emotional state as well. We're affected by it, and sometimes they get very defensive, very violent, very all sorts of things, abusive, and we often get the butt end of that, so to speak. So I have to say that 2022 was not an easy year in terms of that.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, we're all human at the end of the day. So, you know, that kind of being around people who are going through difficulty or trauma or whatever will, at least some of it will rub off on you. So it is a difficulty to kind of shake.
Yeah, that is true. From my side, I've only been in this business a short while, so I don't have any major, you know, like traumatic experiences and things that I've seen. But for me, it's a case of there need to be more awareness in for people that owe money, you know, that everyone always think that they are going to be, when the sheriff comes, they are in big trouble. It is like what we do is tracing. We phone people, four attorneys, trying to get hold of people because they have outstanding debt. It's not to get him to pay that debt. It's for him to just come forward and say, look, this is the problem that I have. Like Noel mentioned, the pandemic has crippled companies, households, and people are running because they are fearful of what is coming. But what's coming is people that just want to understand the situation. And that message need to be put across somewhere out in media land that, you know, come forward, you know, if people phone you, you know, work with them. And the quicker you can answer that call and provide information, and the quicker the mess can be cleared up. But for me personally, the accident investigation for me is what I hold dear to my heart when I went to see the actual victim who was being accused as being, let's call him the perpetrator of the accident. He was actually needing a voice, needing people to say, look, it wasn't me that was at fault. And for me, it's a case of there's so many other people out there, crippled, you know, that can't speak for themselves, that's probably in frail care centers, that were in accidents, that that qualify for some type of funding and social, things that everyone thinks they're entitled to, you know. The victim cannot speak for himself, so they get lost in that system of, you know, he's a cripple, she's a cripple, and that's just how they're going to die. But the dignity that some people, or the indignity that some people are treated is something that is really shocking to me, you know. It's they don't deserve to just be laying there. Something must be done about accidents where the victim is crippled, and there needs to be people that can follow up on it. But this last year was the one thing that I could say I could at least help someone like that to have their dignity restored.
That's great, man. So a frustration or a difficulty or a challenge then becomes a positive thing in that instance then. That's great. So, okay, let's talk about 2023 and the year ahead. What are you thinking? How do you think you will evolve as an investigator? What do you think the work will be like? Let's do some future predictions for a little bit.
Well, future predictions are very, very hard in the investigation game of all things. But what I'm aiming for is to improve myself, to improve my skills, to improve, and to also just to go out there with a better approach and a better attitude. Start stronger. That'll be my motto.
Oh, that's nice. That's good. Because I think also the mood has changed since the whole COVID thing and stuff. I think we're kind of coming out of it on the better side of it. Because the last couple of years it was survival mode, then, okay, living with it mode. And now I don't know. That's just the feeling I get, that it's feeling a little bit lighter now. So let's hope that this year does encourage that. What's your view, Ryan?
Yeah, this year's definitely going to be a game changer. Also to for me to better myself and to be more focused and to learn more about people, you know, in order to be able to help them find answers and hopefully be able to speak for those that can't speak for themselves. So 2023, I've got high hopes for it. And yeah, I hope there's going to be a lot of nice people out there that we can assist, and you know, they can assist us as well. So I'd like to collaborate more with other companies that is like-minded as we are, so that we can have a better country.
Ah, that's good. I think that that's a good note for us to end our first conversation of the new year. So thanks for joining me. Thanks for sitting down and let's just having a little chat. I think we'll do this a little bit more often, just talking, kind of digging into the mind of an investigator, an active investigator out on the road, and just seeing what your thoughts are, because we brought up some interesting points here today. So thank you, guys. Thank you, Noel. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you
for joining me.
It's a great pleasure.
It's been fun.